Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is an Entel Studios production.
We're recording now.
Okay.
Yeah, enthusiasm was amazing just before we pressed press record there. How are you? You all right?
I am satiated.
This is the 11th of December and you're satiated.
Mm.
Okay.
I've eaten meatballs.
I have no idea what the word satiated means. I've never heard it before. Full. Really? Was it?
I think. Hang on.
I'm going to check.
Hold the line, caller.
Satiated.
You never believe me.
No, it's just if I use it, I just want to make sure the context is correct and people don't go, what's he
satiate. On? His curiosity is satiated, so it's fulfilled.
Fulfilled. Like, you feel fulfilled.
Like, but not fulfilled, it's like satisfied.
Okay.
What does satiated mean? To satisfy fully or to excess. It's like,
okay,
I satiated my thirst, my hunger, my...
I think you can keep the word. It's yours. I don't think I'll use it. I don't think it's a me word. Satiate.
Well, it's only not your word because you haven't used it.
Yeah.
You can make it your word.
Okay.
It's a bit like Russell Brand taught me the word recalcitrant. And
yes.
I thought, I'm never going to use that. And I've used it a lot in a slightly showy, offy way.
Did you? Yeah, it's the way to go, isn't it?
Oh, so well.
Yeah.
He's so recalcitrant.
What's the point of having fancy words unless you can use them to beat people with?
Yeah.
So we're recording this, though, on the 1st of December. So it's always quite interesting. I try and think, like, what my life will be like in 2 weeks' time. Whether it'll be happy or sad or whatever. But
it'll be happy.
Today, I've been booked to do a photo shoot for Good Housekeeping magazine for the front cover with a celebrity, but they won't tell me who it is.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. So, okay, wait.
Mm.
We're going to place Guess the Celeb.
Guess the Celeb.
Okay.
I mean, Good Housekeeping, first of all, the demographic must be what, 40 plus?
Yes, I've done Good Housekeeping.
You have,
A few times, as has Dawn.
Okay.
I think, has Dawn done it this year?
Yes, I've done Dawn.
Okay, so it's not her.
It's not her.
And you would know if
it was her. And they'd tell me if it was Dawn.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not her.
So, could it be that it is someone quite big because they're not going to tell you who it is, or is it because they might pull out and they don't want to have egg on their face?
Or it's somebody that's just recently become famous and they don't have their own hairstylist.
Oh, okay.
So...
Or somebody who's not in the fashion TV thing at all, who might be...
Mm-hmm.
So, hang on. So, this is going out in February.
Probably go out Feb, yeah.
So, could it be a Valentine's special? Somebody who's in a love something?
Look at you. You are an expert at this. This is like the cereal podcast or something. Next week, we find out the size of her hands. It could be like Alison Hammond, because she's just taken over from This Morning.
Yes.
You know, she's probably in that age demographic now.
And she might use, say, a This Morning makeup and hair artist, but maybe they can't come and do a shoot because they're...
Yeah. It could be someone like that. Who knows? But
who knows?
Today, that's what's happening, people, if you're listening to this on
that's
the Friday,
exciting.
The 11th. Yeah,
can
it's
you,
always nice. I do enjoy...
Can you please post on that, because we need to know.
I'll post it on the makeup page today.
Yeah, post it on the makeup
today,
makeup
who
page.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, mind you, they might not let me. Because it'll be embargoed.
Oh, well, then, like, even more exciting.
What I'll do is I'll post a picture of the person, but with an emoji face over their face.
And then do a countdown until the February edition comes out.
People will lose interest by then, I think. But
I won't.
Yeah.
I'll always be interested, Mike.
We've done a lot of Christmas, podcasting up to this point. But you're not going to stop, right? We can continue to do it.
No, but, I mean, the things that I'm talking about today are things that... They're more on a practical level, but they are still things. No, if I'm honest, these are things that you would probably... I mean, I am talking about laundry baskets. You might not want to get that for Christmas. However, I would be happy if I got these particular laundry baskets because they are so useful.
Yeah, yeah. I love practical Christmas presents.
But a lot of people don't.
If you bought me tools or like a retractable washing line or something like that, I'd be delighted.
Oh, my God. When you fixed that retractable washing line for me at my old house...
Yeah.
I've never been so grateful.
Yeah, well, great, right? That's a good gift. It's a good gift.
Greatest, greatest present. A gift.
A gift. Yeah. So I've got a couple of things that I'm going to throw in that I think are good Christmas presents. I just, at this point, want to mention our advent calendar of music and hope people are enjoying that. There is a repeating band that, that turn up in there, which is The Killers, which made a Christmas album. So, and I like all of the songs on it, so you are going to get bombarded with them as we go along. But out of these 24 songs, there is my all-time favourite Christmas song.
Have you already posted it?
I don't think I've already posted this, but I'm going to just put it out there to say... You, the viewer, could guess what that was.
Wow.
You could send me a message and say, I think this, and then whatever it is, is your favourite Christmas song.
And whoever gets it right, the first person that gets it right gets a Christmas message from us.
Yeah, we'll give you a Christmas message. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Great.
You've got to remember that.
Yeah. Send us a message.
Send us a message and then remind us what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Literally, as soon as we finish recording the podcast, our brain empties of anything we've ever said.
Everything.
So people go, do you know you said that thing in the podcast? I think,
nope.
What thing? I'm going to start with some TV.
Great. I love TV.
I'm going to start with an oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
Me and my kids. My kids are 16 and 14. They're due to be 17 and 15, actually.
Can't believe that Joel's... Are you saying Joel... Well, Sonny and Joel, to me, are 15 and 17.
Yes. I mean, I've just been saying that.
It's
for
so weird.
Yeah.
They are 15 and 17.
They're 15 and 17. So we are re-watching Breaking Bad from the beginning.
Oh, my God. That's
So Joel started watching it. This will be the first time he's watched it, my youngest. Me and Sonny have watched it before. So he puts it on and then we sit down with a bag of crisps or something and then I start watching it a bit.
Wait. Crisp of choice.
Ooh. Joel really likes the cheap Sainsbury's own brand salt and vinegar crisps in packs of six.
What is it about the own brand Sainsbury's salt and vinegar crisps that he likes? Because there's Walkers. Like, why don't you go Walkers?
He likes a really thin, translucent crisp.
Oh, like, are they really thin and translucent?
They're very thin and cheap. Like,
yeah, but isn't that good? Like crispy, fatty. I think it's good.
The worst crisp in the world is a kettle chip, quite frankly.
Oh, because it's too thick.
My God, it cuts all your mouth open.
It's like
you need all the saliva to break it down. It's horrific.
Yeah.
It's an easy crisp to eat. That's what he loves. And I'll just eat whatever the kids eat. That and a frazzle.
I'd be really interested as your conscience on your shoulder, your health conscience.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested in a comparison, please, in fat content between. Kettle, Walkers.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to jot this down.
Sainsbury's.
Kettle, Walkers, and Sainsbury's.
I want fat content and I want
calorie
content. Please.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Thank you.
Breaking Bad
is
still the greatest TV show
it is. It's
ever
really amazing.
Made. Yeah. I cannot stop watching it again. And even though I know what happens, I've forgotten a lot of it.
Yes.
But seeing this middle aged man's life unfold and him almost enjoy the fact that it's unfolding.
Mm.
And the lies and the deceit and the corruption that seeps into every part of his being and then spreads out across all the family. It is just sensational the way they do that. I can't find another TV show that even touches the sides of
Breaking
Bad.
Have you appreciated it more second time?
Yeah. Mm. And I've forgotten just how good Bryan Cranston is.
Oh, he's so good.
And I've watched a lot of TV stuff. A lot of it's been brilliant as well. But wow, what an artist that guy is, the way he embodied that character. So basically, if you've seen it and it was a few years ago and you're really looking for something to watch, just watch the first three episodes and just see if you can back out of it. Because, so we're into season two at the moment, which you'll remember they drip feed those shots of the swimming pool with a burnt teddy bear in it and a floating eye and stuff like that. And Joel doesn't know what happens, you know. So the whole thing's unfolding for him. So I'm enjoying it twofold. One, I'm getting to see it again, but two, I'm getting to watch him as the story unfolds. Because season two for me is just amazing. The end of it, when you find out what that's all about.
I can't remember any of it.
Really?
I mean, I am the perfect sort of film viewer because literally I watch a film, I really forget the story.
Yeah.
Or I forget big chunks of it. So watching a film two or three times is great for me, unless it's very lightweight. But if there's a lot of meaning... to it. I mean, I think what you said about Bryan Cranston enjoying how his life is slightly unravelling is very true, because I think the one thing that did stick with me was that his life had been so vanilla and so boring that his illness made him live for the first time ever, albeit the most sick. And, you know, we talk about kind of that the pressure of dishonesty mm-hmm. and like how hard that is on people
mm-hmm.
and how like that's eating him alive, but so's the cancer. But at the same time, he's living for the first time in his life.
Yeah.
That's just such a clever concept in itself, really.
And applying a certain level of intellect and logic to
something
being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Like he tries to deal with it in a very kind of fundamental kind of business-like way, and yet he's faced with all these weird bits of corruption and violence and stuff, and he tries to find logical solutions for them. And then, of course, you've got Jesse Pinkman, who still calls him Mr. White throughout the entire thing. You know, it's just sensational.
And the amazing thing, I think, as an ex-drug addict watching that is that put a drug addict in any situation and chaos will ensue. Because step one of Narcotics Anonymous is that you admit that you've got a problem and that your life has become unmanageable.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about an addict is like the minute you take that first drug, your life starts becoming completely unmanageable. You're not turning up to stuff on time. You piss people off. You use your supply. And what's so clever is putting Jesse Pinkman with Mr. White.
Yes.
Is that you've got the intellect and somebody that's not using with the complete chaos and anarchy of a using addict, but that they need each other.
Yeah.
It's like The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So we've just watched the episode.
God, I really want to watch it again now.
We just watched the episode with Tuco and his uncle, and his uncle's in a wheelchair, don't you remember?
Yes.
He can only communicate by ringing a bell.
Oh my
ding,
God.
Ding.
It's so good.
I mean, so anyway, I mean, I know a lot of people will have watched it, but I'm watching it for the second time and it brings me nothing but joy.
How many eps per series?
That can be a lot, I think. There's
like 24.
Maybe, I think there might be up to 20 or something.
I mean,
like
how many?
That.
It was five series?
I think five series, yeah. So there's plenty to go at. It's an absolute romp, and some of it's hilarious, some of it's very sad, but all of it is powerful and moving. It's a no-brainer.
So I'd like to talk about something that I happened upon, and I can't remember whether somebody's recommended it to me or whether somebody suggested it on the Instagram page. I can't remember at all, but I wrote it down on one of our lists, and it's called tryit.co.uk.
Okay.
And it's a product discovery club. So basically what you do is it's all about harvesting data from us.
Okay.
But you know that thing, I mean, there's a little YouTube video on their website. You know that thing when you're standing in the supermarket and you look at all these different products, and the place where I get it possibly more than anywhere else is the soft drinks aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at all these soft drinks in cans and I think, oh, that's new. And, oh, look, that looks quite interesting. And, oh, look about that. Now I'll go for Coke Zero. I mean, I literally just go for the same two drinks every time I walk down the drinks aisle.
Yes.
Try It is an idea where you get sent products for you and your family to try for free.
Okay.
A box of things.
Yeah.
And it's full size. It's not sample sizes. Mm-hmm. You all get to try it. Then you fill out a form
like
a questionnaire about what did you think about each product, and that then gets fed back to the producers of the product. They get free and unbiased feedback, market research, because normally when somebody's standing in front of you, a market researcher, there is a part of me that always slightly wants to lie to the market researcher, either wants to kind of give them the answer that I think that they want me to give them, or when somebody's looking at me with the whites of their eyes, if I think that what I'm going to say is a slightly unpopular opinion, I might not give that opinion.
Yeah,
it's not going to be honest.
Yes.
When you're sat there with your iPad or your computer with your family and they go, did you like this drink? You just go, it was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You can just put it was disgusting. You're not hurting anyone's feelings.
Yeah,
you're just giving honest, faceless feedback, which is consumer gold.
Yes.
So these products are getting something extraordinary, but at the same time, you said immediately, right? Oh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the same, like, I want to get a box of surprise goodies.
Yes.
You know, like,
and do you pay?
It's free.
It's free. What?
It's free. So listen to this.
Yeah.
You tell the club about your family. So
yeah.
You tell how many you've got in your family. You tell them your likes, your dislikes, your eating habits. And then they send you a try it box. And it's got full-size products you can try. And they're chosen to basically match our lives and our likes and our needs. And then you share the feedback. And when the feedback is complete, then you get more boxes to try. And it's free.
I'm signing up.
I'm signing up.
Yeah.
This is the best thing ever. Like,
me and the kids will love it.
It's such a good idea. Yeah. It's like Christmas every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love trying new stuff. I'm probably not like you. I do think, ooh, that looks good. I'll give that a whirl.
Yes, you are much better than me. Mm. This is why this is very important for me and my family, because we just get stuck in the same sort of six products.
Okay.
Over and over again. And that's why I've loved doing this podcast, because...
Yeah, no, we've experienced different things.
We've experienced lots of different things. I would never have eaten a Marmite...
Cracker.
Yeah. Because I don't massively like Marmite, but I love Marmite crackers. Mm. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But I thought that is a very...
Who told you about that?
I was jealous.
This is great.
I don't know where I found it. It's just on my list of things to talk about. And Try It UK. I don't know how.
Try It UK. So is it tryituk.co.uk?
So I've just got to look it up again. So it's actually spelt TRYIT.co.uk.
Product Discovery Club.
So TRYIT.co.uk. But if you just put try it in Google, at home for free.
Wow. Okay. Marvellous.
And you don't pay to join.
God.
You just join the club.
Me and the kids are going to love
that. But you know, we now have all seen Social Dilemma.
Yeah, yes.
We know that nothing comes for free.
Yeah, you're the product.
We are the product.
Yeah.
We are harnessing data for this company. But do I care?
No, not really. I'm getting some freebies, you know. And
it's a freebie.
I also think that to a certain extent, if you're going to force advertising onto me, then I would rather it was targeted. I'd rather you were going to force advertising of things that I was interested
in. I've always said that.
Yeah, like, I don't mind. Which brings me on to my next review.
Oh, my God, that was...
It was seamless.
That was
so
good.
You paved the way there for me, absolutely.
I paved the way, did I?
You
did.
You helped enormously. Sorry, I'm trying to get my face to be red on my iPad because I've got information to go at here.
Michael.
Yes.
I love doing this podcast.
Oh, yes, I know. It's great,
I love it so much.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy it.
So, I have been thinking about buying myself a new sofa for my house, because I've got a sofa, as you know, is deeply uncomfortable, and the pillows just fall off it, and then it's leather. It looks fantastic,
It's a very cool-looking sofa.
But it's me and the kids are like, God almighty, as soon as you lie down on it, you're basically just led on the frame.
What are you going to do with it?
I'll just put it in storage for a while, because it can live somewhere in the end, somewhere. But it's just not very comfortable to watch telly on. So I went on the Googles and had a quick look at, like, loaf.com.
Oh, yeah.
I like Loaf.
Yeah, I love Loaf.
They've got a showroom in St Albans, really big one.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, it's really great.
God, can we come? Because I need to choose some beds for the kids.
What they did in St Albans, there was a great big garden centre there that went bust.
Mm.
So Loaf took half the garden centre. So it's like a warehouse, but they've done it all out inside and everything's on display in there.
Oh, you walk around.
Because it was just an online brand, Loaf.
Yes.
This is an actual showroom.
I'm bringing the kids.
Yeah. So Loaf was good. So I had a quick look there and saw what was on offer, which was great. And then I ended up on Made.com. I like Made.com. I bought a few things from there in the past.
Our friend Chloe's.
Yeah, and they make a certain number of these sofas. And then I guess that's how they managed to do the economies of scale and make things quite cheap. But once those sofas have sold, they don't make them again.
Yeah.
And then I found this company called Swift. S-W-Y-F-T. Because what happened, as soon as I'd Googled something, my Instagram became bombarded with sofa companies as a promotional, stuff.
Great.
I was like, God
Thank
almighty.
You very much. Yeah. Social Dilemma, this is what we love.
So they've just...
You need a sofa.
I need a sofa,
You're
yes.
being provided with sofas.
So Swift, it just literally says Model 1, Model 2, Model 3. They have three sofas. That's all
that's
they
it.
Seem to have.
Well,
as
I already
far as I'm
really
aware.
Like that one.
Yeah, right.
But the only thing I always worry when I look at little spindly legs on a sofa.
Yes, me too.
Is the sofa going to collapse under the weight of those spindly little legs?
So I doubt it. But prices are very good. $995 for a big three-seater sofa.
And look, they're all blooming sold out.
Colours are lovely, aren't they?
The colours are so nice. Right. And they're very modern looking. It's a very clean looking, trendy, modern sofa. But 90% of these sofas are sold out, which means that this is an incredibly popular website.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased about that.
Or they only made two or three of these and, they sold out very, very quickly. But they do, so they do Model 1 in a three-seater, a two-seater, and then they do it in a chair.
Oh, in a chair as well. So is that, are we going now into Model 2?
Model 2 is this one, which has got these round things here and a solid cushion across the back.
So there's one cushion on the bottom, slightly different legs. Mm.
They're all sold out as well by the looks of things. And then Model 2. And then Model 3 is this kind of bigger, poofy type thing that turns into a big L-shaped sofa as well.
Yeah. Which and then you've got obviously almost exactly what I'd be looking for.
Yes, right.
A new house.
This would be great. And then it gets bigger
oh
and bigger.
Oh, my God. So it's a modular style sofa.
Yeah.
But again, this is magnificent. It's sold out, every single one.
It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that incredible?
So I thought that was...
They must be... Can I just say something?
Yes.
It makes me so happy when I see things like that, because I think this is probably a brand new company that is... just starting out, and mm-hmm. they do a very nice blog on their site as well. And, you know, you think, well, here they are, and they're completely sold out. I bet they weren't expecting that.
Yeah. So they're on Instagram.
Yes.
With 24,000 followers. What?
Wait, look at their bio.
Yeah. Delivered within 24 hours.
What?
And you assemble it with no tools. It comes in pieces, and it slots together weirdly. So it can fit through any door. The point this is the point of it, is that it's slides together. I'm just trying to find a little video for you to drop it in. So look at the video. So you basically screw on the legs, and that's the base of the sofa.
We could basically do that. You've got the base there.
Yeah.
And so then they're putting the back of the sofa on, which slides into the base, which looks nice and easy. Then the arms slide into the other side. And then they put the cushions on. Oh, God, that is amazing.
Right?
So that is completely crazy.
It could fit up any staircase. It could fit through any doorway.
I mean, it is amazing.
And bingo. So no tools, and then 24-hour delivery on the order.
Well, no wonder they've sold out.
Yeah, right?
No wonder they've sold out.
So I am contemplating getting one of these maybe next year for my living room. Because the other thing is they're quite shallow. They're not these huge deep things, because my living room is tiny. But they're called Swift _ Home. So it's SWYFT _ Home. I've literally stumbled across these at random. So they've not contacted us or... anything like that. It looks like they're in West Sussex. So go and check them out. But I am very excited about these sofas because they're a great price. They look like they would fit through my tiny front room door.
That is amazing.
There would be no bother. And they look very comfy as well. But the swatches, like the different colours they've got and everything, I think look really nice. I love the green because a lot of my living room's quite orange. You know, I've got that orangey floor and the rug and all the rest of it. It'd be quite nice to have something greeny or petrolly bluey in there, you know.
I mean, very, very nice.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm going to recommend Swift as if you're looking for a new sofa next year, then why don't you go and have a little look? Hopefully, they'll be back in stock.
Just quickly,
because
we're on a home makeover sort of idea here. A friend of mine, because I am building a house and will be looking to decorate it and all things like that, so I'm following lots of Instagram accounts that are sort of interior-based or any kind of ideas, and... somebody told me about Studio McGee, and Studio McGee have got a Netflix show called Dream Home Makeover, and they do really nice makeovers. So they are, the McGees are American. They are the sort of archetypal perfect American family, mum, dad, couple of kids, gorgeous. In 2013, she started an Instagram account, just sort of posted a few pictures of her doing a making over her own home, which then turned into a business. And now they have a thriving business with, looks like, scores of people working for them. And they go around and... you know, change people's homes into their dream homes.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really like their Instagram account. It's just really nice to look at. It's got lovely ideas. They have got a shop. I have to say, I probably wouldn't buy anything from the shop, but I just really like their Instagram account. And because they are doing this network show, there's lots of different types of houses, but it's very, well, it's very you and me for a start. It's
okay,
very
yes.
sort of... lovely colours, very homely, but interesting, very modern feel, and all very affordable.
Yeah, nice Instagram page.
Yeah, it's very nice looking, isn't it?
They've got
very creative.
They've got a blue tick. I was refused a blue tick.
What? When?
Mm. About a month ago.
You do things, and like, I think, I see you a lot.
Yeah, yes.
And I didn't know you'd gone for blue tick.
Yeah, they said... you are not eligible for a blue tick at this stage.
Is that because they think you're impersonating Michael Douglas,
well,
the actor?
So a friend of mine, one of my son's friends, has got one at school. And I
said,
how did your mate get a blue tick? And he said, oh, he set up a fake account and then complained about someone would set up a fake account and then Instagram give you a blue tick. So what I might have to do is set up a fake MD London account.
Okay.
And then complain. And then they might go, oh, yeah, because people are trying to replicate you. We better give you a blue tick.
Okay.
But clearly nobody wants to replicate me. Whereas you must have a few fake accounts. So you'll have fan pages.
Lots and lots of people tell me. But there have been a few fake accounts where people have impersonated me. Okay. And people that I know quite well have followed.
Oh, okay, yes,
so
I don't think you've told me that.
That's quite frightening.
I'm following three, as it is. Great.
What of me?
You're much more fun than this, really, on your fake Instagram account.
Oh, God.
Okay, very good. There was a couple of things I was going to mention, Christmassy-wise. One is that I've got a couple of jobs coming in January, and one of the things I'm very excited about is buying myself some new clothes, mainly because my jumpers are all falling apart. They're all a bit threadbare and all the rest of it, and I've shrunk them quite a bit in the wash. But if you're looking for a jumper for your sons or husbands or whatever, Uniqlo merino wool jumpers.
Oh, they're great, aren't they?
They're £29.50. Sometimes they're reduced to £19.50. They are, I mean, considering a John Smedley jumper is £120, I'd rather have the Uniqlo one.
It's such a good fit on you as well.
It's such a nice fit. They're slightly more robust.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Small for them. Extra small is too small.
Yeah, because normally you'd go extra small, but you're small in Uniqlo.
And Uniqlo clothes are quite small. Mm. Yeah, but you know, if you were looking for jumpers, they do them in every colour. They do a crew neck and a V-neck and a polo neck and a button-down collar.
Oh, really?
All in merino wool, all for around the £20 to £30 mark. But I'm very excited.
They're chic.
Because in January, if I've got the money, I'm going to buy like one in every colour almost.
Yeah, do it.
Because that green one is such a great one.
Yeah.
But they do a lovely pale blue.
Has it dyed?
Green. It's slightly dyed, the green one now. It's smaller. It's got smaller and smaller every time I've washed it. You can wash these. If you just put them on a light wash in the washing machine and hang them out to dry, they're perfect. Don't worry about the whole dry cleaning business, but dump them in the tumble dryer.
You are impressively domesticated.
Yeah. Well, I like clothes and I like to look good in them, so you've got to look after them.
And I really appreciate that about you.
Mm. Oh, well, good.
I've got to stop paying you compliments.
Yes, just cut it out, for goodness sake. The other thing I will mention is the Amazon Fire Stick at the moment on Amazon for about £20. I know you're quite annoyed, but I bought
one. Tell everybody.
Well, I bought one for Joel for his birthday. And realised they were only £20, cut down from 40. And I thought, well, I'll buy myself one.
But what had you said, like, the week before?
I had dropped a hint inadvertently to say, I really need a fire stick.
It wasn't even a hint, you said it by mistake.
Okay.
And you said it by mistake, and you said, I really need a fire stick. And I was so excited. So, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so exciting.
So they're on Amazon at the moment.
And you bought yourself one?
At £19.99.
And now I've got a fire stick.
And they're voice-activated through the remote control with Alexa. And they've got the Apple TV app on. Now, that was the important bit I wanted to mention because I bought Apple TVs over the year. They're quite expensive, £130 or something. And all you want is the app, so you've got access to Apple Plus TV where you can watch Ted Lasso and all the rest of it. And I didn't really want to buy an Apple TV just to watch that. And they've now included that app on the Fire Stick. Mm. So you can access Apple TV via the Amazon Fire Stick. So if you've not got one and you were thinking about it, it's a no-brainer, but get the voice-activated remote control one. There's a cheaper one, and then there's a 4K one. Don't bother with 4K. Your eyes are not good enough for it. And they're going to bring out 8K next week, and your eyes are never going to be sophisticated
enough
to
see 8K. Can I please just talk about the voice activation and how useful that is? Because anybody that's tried to type in the search engine on the TV in any way, it's so annoying.
Oh, God.
But the other night, me and Chester we were trying to have an argument over what film to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a really good film which I really, really want to watch called Boy Erased.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Chester was trying to get it to come up on the TV and he kept going, Boy... He started off by going, Boy Erased. And I guess it's quite a weird...
Yeah.
He just went, Boy Erased. And it didn't come up. Well, it came up with something completely unconnected. So then he tried Boy Erased. And then he tried shouting it, Boy Erased! So that didn't work. Then he started going, Boy Erased. Boy! But I mean, literally, he could have typed it out five times over if he'd had just gone to type it out. Me and Holly start laughing. By which point, by the time we finished, I was literally on the verge of wetting my pants. Yeah. I've never laughed so much. He was like, now we just walk around the house all day, every day, going, Boy! Erased!
Yes. Oh, I mean, they have to get used to your voice, I think, these things.
Yeah.
They're not very...
It's still not got used to Chester's.
Not very northern friendly.
It's not
or
got
Scottish.
Used to Chester's.
So, yes, that would be my other little recommendation, is a Fire Stick for anybody is a great little gift.
Right, talking about Scottish, I want to talk to you about a product called Bug Bakes.
Okay.
I met the founder of Bug Bakes called Ross a long time ago at an event, and I thought he had such a good idea that I invested the smallest amount of money into his business, but he has grown it and grown it and grown it, and he's just launched something that I think is very exciting.
Okay.
So I'm not going to financially benefit from doing this podcast. He's not paying me to do it, but I have invested in his business, so I should probably be transparent.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
from the get-go. But I invested in it because...
It's brilliant.
It's amazing for the climate. Mm-hmm. It's amazing for the world. And it's amazing for my dog.
Yeah.
So these are all things that I love. So Bug Bakes, the whole premise of them is that it is dog treats and dog food made from cricket flour. And you would think, ugh, like revolting.
Yeah, insects.
But Ross started the business off as dog treats. And what I loved about it was a subscription business. And he'd send you your dog treats and your dog treats would have a picture of your dog on it.
Okay, very nice.
So he sent me a picture, a packet of dog treats with Bo on it. I mean, I know Bo is a pig.
Yeah.
But she will stick her nose up at certain things. And in particular, dry food. Like, she loves human food. She'd do anything for human food. But, you know, often her bowl, you've seen her bowl of dog food will be left uneaten all day.
She'll eat it as a last resort.
Yeah. Exactly. So the dog treats went down a treat. And the thing about cricket flour is that a kilo of cricket protein, well, let's say a kilo of cow protein might take 30,000 litres to make.
Of water.
A kilo of water. A kilo of cricket protein will take 15 litres of water. So the
30,000?
Well, let me give you some actual stats.
Yes,
so more than 20% of the global impact from the meat industry can be attributed to pet food.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So the pet population is just massive, right? If you took the cats and dogs just living in America and considered them to be their own country, it would be the fifth biggest country in the world in terms of meat consumption.
Wow.
That's so frightening.
Mm-hmm.
An average-sized dog has got twice the environmental footprint each year of building a 4x4 car and driving it 10,000 kilometres.
Wow.
And that is almost entirely attributed to their food. So insect-based food solves that problem, right? So insect-based protein is a no-brainer. And all of the ways that they are lovely, so they also use wonky fruit and veg.
Okay,
so
great.
So do you know we've talked about the Odd Box?
Yeah, yes.
Which we loved.
Yeah.
So they use all the ones that like nobody wants to use in the supermarket or anything. It's all plastic-free packaging. And the dog food that they're making now is cold-pressed. And it's quite a new way of making dried dog food because it requires less energy, which is really good because the ingredients are just pressed together at low temperature. Mm-hmm. So they make... What's different about the dog food that Bug Bakes make is it comes in pellet form. Now, what was interesting, when I first got the bag, I thought,
Dried pellets,
The dog's not going to like the dried pellets. Yeah. She loved the dried pellets.
I saw you feed her for the first time with these things, and I was very thinking, is she going to turn her nose up at these? But she didn't at all.
She loved it, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
And not only that, for your dog, you can, because it's cold-pressed, you can then just add water and let it sit for a few minutes, and
it turns, to
it turns into like a porridge type wet food. We currently rely, it says, as a nation, on bees to pollinate 1/3 of everything we eat, but we've destroyed 97% of their natural habitat. So 5p from each bag of dog food is donated to a bees charity.
Oh, great.
I love this brand.
Yes.
And
I can see that. Yeah. You threw money at it. Yeah.
But I just think everything they do is really good. So mm-hmm. I'm subscribing. It's very easy to do because you know how much food your dog's going to eat.
Okay. So you subscribe a monthly amount.
And they tell you how much to get. So you send how active is your dog,
yeah.
how much does your dog weigh, and they will tell you how much food you need to give your dog every day.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? Those stats on producing meat-based protein for animals based on and the difference
it's crazy,
it
takes. Right?
It is crazy. And just so people are aware, cricket flour is the insect cricket, and
yes.
it's kind of ground down
yes.
into a fine powder,
yes.
and then it's packed together with wonky veg, let's say,
yes.
and turned into a pellet.
Yeah.
But the protein...
And they've got a grain-free one. What's and a grain one. So
okay.
one's got grains in and one's grain-free if
okay.
your dog has any kind of allergies. Or, I mean, my dog
oh,
likes
okay.
both, but
yeah.
Some dogs might prefer the grain-free, mm-hmm. and they're quite happy to send you out samples as
okay.
well.
And presumably there's a massive cricket farm they've got or something.
Yeah, and also, like, there's so much work being done. And yes, I mean, there's a massive cricket farm, and also you can be so much more ethically... kind
friendly
and,
yes.
to crickets mm-hmm. than cows,
yeah,
and think of what it does to the environment, the fields, the space that
yeah.
they take up in comparison to
well,
herds
you,
of
you
cows
told me or... all about this about a year ago, and I remember thinking, bloody hell, what a great business this guy's got.
Very clever.
And he's from Dundee as
he's
well.
He's from your hometown.
I was like, Dundee, yeah, he's in.
Yeah.
Well, good. You have to let me know how you get on with that, because I may well get some for Ronnie and see how we get on.
Well, I think we should get some for Ronnie
okay,
to
let's
see
get
what she if she
yes.
likes it, because I know that you tell everybody what you give Ronnie.
Yeah, well, just like fresh chicken.
You like literally hand cut the chicken in the...
in the Xylus chopper.
and you kind of give her... Like,
I get
and
boneless,
sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes she's looking at her bowl and you pick up the food with your fingers and try and sort of hand feed her.
She's
it's terrible.
She is a rescue dog, though. She's got a few issues. But, yeah, it is a bloody nightmare feeding the dog. I'll put the food down at, like, maybe 7 in the evening. It looks at it and walks away. And then Matt come back, eat a tiny bit of it, walk away. And then she'll get up at 3 in the morning and eat it all when no one's
but
around.
But that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dog-like.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
She won't eat if you watch her.
At least she's eating.
She doesn't want you
at least she's
to.
Eating.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be watched eating.
I mean, no dog would starve itself to death.
No, I'd heard that, yeah. Okay, I'm going to talk about something contentious.
Oh, God, great.
Where
we
are
love
we? Oh,
contentious.
God, well, time's wearing on, so it's
yeah,
a quickie.
Yeah, contentious, go.
The latest season of The Crown.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
Okay, this is hard.
It's going to be tricky for you, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I love The Crown, obviously.
And
you've,
so do
you've
I.
watched season one, season two?
Season two, yeah.
Okay. So I think we're on season 5, maybe? Might be 4 or 5. But it's the one with Thatcher, played by Gillian Anderson, and then Lady Diana Spencer. I can't remember the lady who plays her, but good Lord, she is fantastic. I should probably find her name, really, shouldn't I? You Google's it.
I will do it.
So this is the season of The Crown that we're all familiar with because, obviously, most of us are around for Thatcher's reign, and we're also around for the royal wedding between Charles and Diana, and then the subsequent kind of drama that went on in their lives. I guess what we know about it, what the Daily Express decided to say about it, every day forever, and then, obviously, all the other stories and conspiracy theories that have come out of it. It was interesting.
Season 4.
And watch the girl playing Diana
Just
called.
Finding
okay.
out.
The girl playing Lady Diana Spencer is Emma Corrin. I don't know how old she is, but she could potentially be like 16 or 17. She's
very young.
I
think she's 24.
Oh, is she? Well, she looks childlike in it. It's just brilliant. But I guess the worry is that of how accurate this story is being played out, whether people are believing what's being played out as well. You know, how much of it's fiction and how much of it's fact. Because obviously Charles did marry Diana and they had a slightly turbulent relationship and they had 2 kids. So there's obviously lots of truth within the story. But then I guess what the writers are trying to do is condense like 3 years of their relationship into a 1 hour program. And they're using a lot of artistic license to do that. So there's plenty to complain about if you're a purist on these things. And if you feel like it should be more accurately portrayed.
You're suddenly like taking over my half of the argument.
I'm building a case for my own.
But already kind of taking my argument into account. Because my argument is not that. It's not about purism. But carry on.
Okay. So all I'm suggesting is that I've read some critical reviews of it in the press. And I'm more sympathetic with the production than I am the critic. I think they're being overly harsh about it. And I think from an artistic point of view and the idea of if anyone's ever tried to make a TV program, you'll have plenty of idea of how difficult it is to make a good one. It is a fantastic TV show, and I am utterly gripped by it. I would say I've cried maybe 4 or 5 times and felt elated and laughed and been amazed and mesmerized by it. I think there's lots you could go at for it, certainly with Thatcher, because I think she was far more multi-dimensional than as she's being played. But I think you have to just try and get the big points about Thatcher across. And then you have to get the big points about their relationship across between Charles and Diana. And you can't get bogged down in the nitty gritty because you haven't got the time, you know. But when you see her in those dresses and you'll see her doing that dance with Prince Charles, all the things you'll remember from the TV when you were a kid, you know.
Diana.
Yes, sorry, Diana, yeah. God, I just love it. I can't get enough of it. It's really, really good.
I mean, you're enjoying it as a televisual drama.
That's all you can do.
Well, it's not all you can do, because I think lots and lots of people will watch it, as they have watched the first 3 seasons, that I loved more than anything.
Yeah.
That it is a televisual feast, and it is a drama, but it is about it's about true life and true events that happened in that life.
Mm-hmm.
And up until this point, there's been very little. There's been a bit of sort of salaciousness about the Duke of Edinburgh, possibly, or hints, or ideas, but really this is the era when, as far as kind of gossip or intrigue around the royal family goes, the shit hit the fan.
Yes.
In this era. And we know that there's a lot of contentious issues around the Martin Bashir interview, and all of that's coming to light now, and whether the BBC should have even allowed that to go ahead. These are real people. And the thing that doesn't sit right with me, and why I will not watch it.
Will you not watch it?
No.
Really?
No. It's for the same reason as Paula, Vic and Bob.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of, it's like reading someone's biography rather than their autobiography, where it's someone else's opinion on other people's real lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Queen is in her 90s. She's lived a full and amazing life, and we can see during these seasons the ebb and flow of her life. But overall, we absolutely can see what an upstanding and outrageously amazing woman she was. But this is a dark look at 2 young men whose parents, whose both parents are being made into salacious drama for a TV company's financial gain. And these boys are alive, and a lot of these things are not factually correct.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point is it being said that they are not factually correct. So yes, some of it's true, and yes, some of it's fiction, but which bits?
Mm-hmm.
What's true? What's fiction? It feels so wrong to me, especially on those boys. Like and I am a royalist. And I'm not anti it because I'm a royalist. I'm anti it because I'm a humanitarian. And I feel like it's wrong to... I mean, I guess in a way, what they should have done is something like a Succession, where it's a family that are a bit like the Royals.
Yeah.
You know, like Succession, they're a bit like the Murdochs, but they're not the Murdochs.
Yeah.
That is not the Murdochs' life. Mm-hmm. That is not how it panned out.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like. And people are, you know, like you said about Thatcher, you know, she was funny, and I'm not a Thatcherite. I was 12 when she was Prime Minister, and I know that she caused a lot of problems, but as far as she's concerned, her kids are grown up. Dennis is gone. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like...
Thatcher's gone.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm saying her husband's not alive hurt by it.
Yeah.
But for me, Diana mm-hmm. and Charles, mm-hmm. their legacy still lives very mm-hmm. strong in their grandchildren.
Is it not a sense that all of that stuff is off... It's just out of bounds for them because they're royals. Like, they get written about anyway. There's a mountain of stuff written about them and talked about them, and you can't avoid it because that's one of the pitfalls of being royal.
Yeah,
hence, they get all the ceremony and respect and privilege and all the rest of it. That's what they have to sacrifice to be there.
I don't really agree with that, because I feel like if there's stuff written about them in the paper, it would be something that they would just let slide, but this is going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And it is an act of fiction.
Mm. Well, some of it is an act of
fiction. But then that's the danger. That's the thing that I don't...
Well, I think what's they've tried to portray here...
as the truth.
Yes, because I think what you extract from it, I think, is the truth, which is they had a marriage that was turbulent and didn't really work, and in the end it fell apart. How it falls apart, they've got some artistic license over saying, well, this is what happened in Australia, but it probably didn't happen in Australia, it probably happened in the UK. But
like, that's like somebody doing a film about my life and completely making up my relationship with my husband. And
it's not, it's though, I don't think. Because I think once you're a royal...
You know, there's only so far that you can push the royals. Like, you go, okay, we're going to say that this happened in Australia. It might not have happened in Australia. It might have happened somewhere else. And it might not be exactly like this, but it was sort of like this. It's, like, not okay.
Oh, well...
In my opinion,
I think that's fair enough.
And interesting, because I was sort of thinking, how am I going to find anybody that feels like me? But I had a talk with Sarah.
Yes.
You know, my bestie. And she, I was like, oh, I can't watch it. She went, neither can I. And then we both had a chat about
it. So has she watched it?
She's watched a bit of it.
Okay. Because I chatted to Dawn about this yesterday. But my general feeling is that there's already been 3 films made about the subject of Diana
and her life. Yeah,
I haven't seen any of them. I've seen them all, really. Dawn was like, are you a mad Diana fan or something? I was like, no, I was just interested to see how they portrayed her life. No one could really know unless you were done deeply on the inside. But
and I just feel like because she died in such terrible circumstances,
well,
and her boys,
how they handle that.
Really, it's horrible.
Well, I am going to recommend it. I think it is really good. But I will put a caveat in there.
I think it's good that you should recommend it. Yes. I was just giving another side of why I won't be watching it.
But I don't think it ever suggests anywhere that these are true events. But also,
but it doesn't say that it's not.
I'm not sure whether it does or not. I must have a look. It doesn't say that some of these events have been fictionalised.
No. I'll have to double-check that.
But the performances, particularly of Charles and Diana, are outstanding. And I'd be interested to see what people think. So send us a message.
Looked it up. And on the BBC News, it says that the Crown should carry a fiction warning, the Culture Secretary says.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my feeling is that I know what happened. I know enough about what happened between Charles and Diana. So I don't need to...
How do you know?
Well, I know enough to satisfy me about what happened between the two of them.
But how do you know that?
Well, because that's what I know.
But how? From reading it in the papers?
Yeah, from the interviews that I've seen that she gave, that, you know, there were 3 people in the marriage, that Camilla did exist as part of them, that they weren't very happy together, and then they broke up, and then she had a fling with Dodie Fired and died. Like, I know that. Like, I don't need to know any more detail in any way, but I'm thoroughly enjoying the dramatisation of it all. But I'm not sat here thinking, oh my God, you never guess what she said to Charles.
No,
like, I don't believe that that's what happened.
I get what you're saying. I mean, it's like, it's half and half. I do understand. I just feel sad for the boys.
Yeah.
And that they have to go through this. It was their mother and they really loved their mother, and it's hard enough. You know, when they went through everything that they went through, and
I
they've
do
got
agree
to go through it all over again, and it's in the papers everywhere, and it's hard.
I do agree that it should carry a warning about that it's been fictionalised. It seems fair that you should do that. Okay, a few shout-outs. This is Elle Hobley. She says, sorry for the bombardment, but I need to share with you, Nicole Kidman's lip is like Jennifer Aniston's. Is it a new trend?
We
probably shouldn't go there, but Elle Hobley.
It's a thing.
We're talking about
The Undoing.
The Undoing, yes.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on a blonde-haired friend. Yeah, that the blonde-haired friend, blonde-haired lawyer. Mm. Yeah. My other suspicion was the kid just finished the last episode, El Hobley. Yes. Say no more about that. And then Keela and Sideaway. This is, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Oh, yes. They're a great business.
Hi, guys. Just want to say a massive thank you for shouting out our little business on the podcast yesterday. Terrific. Traffic went through the roof, which is really amazing in these tough times. We'd love to send you a print of the one you mentioned in the podcast.
Aww.
I think it was the woman in the swimming pool with a hat. We'd love that. So I'll send you a message on that. Thank you so much. Keela and Sideway.
Do you know that would be a nice memento of our podcast?
Yes, it would.
Hello.
Yes, exactly. Now, I'm fascinated by these. So this is from Julie254. Hi, Davina. Hi, Michael. Love, love, love the podcast. Have you ever reviewed or considered reviewing the Theragun?
Do you know who uses that?
Who?
David McDonald, husband of Anna McDonald, who we mentioned a lot on this podcast. He loves it.
So it looks like a power drill, but it's actually a percussive?
Yeah, percussive massage therapy tool
for muscle stiffness. I mean, I've seen these all over the internet, and I always think, God, they look so good.
So good.
And they film them in slow motion, and the muscle's going...
And also your skin and all the wobbly, like it's very...
I'm a salesperson's dream, and if the ad is glitzy and convincing enough, I'll just get it. Many thanks and stay well. Well, I would say you should get one, Julie, and tell us if it's any good or not.
I definitely think I'm going to try one.
Yeah?
I'm going to get one, and I will review it.
Good.
This is a really good idea.
And then Samantha, this brings us greatly to the end of this podcast, because our next podcast is going to try and focus on Christmas movies for you to watch over Christmas. So on December the 18th, we'll do a Christmas movie special. But Samantha has given us a few. This is, let me just get her name. Samantha Wright, 72, said The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Which we've already recommended, which we love.
The Upside, which I've not seen.
No, neither have
Dolomite
I.
Dolomite Is My Name. Which
have you seen that?
I've not, but I think it's Eddie Murphy. But I'd read good things about it. All feel-good movies and all over 7 on IMDb. Thank you, Samantha.
Thanks, Samantha.
They are great, and we'll stick those in the list for our podcast on the 18th. That is us.
That's us.
Got quite tense at the end there.
Yeah, it did a
bit. Yeah, I felt
But I'm just trying to say that I totally understand that you love The Crown and why you would love it. I'm not going to watch that series.
Okay.
And that's fine.
That's fine. Okay. I mean, I can't. When you're asleep, I might put your AirPods in and just slowly...
Do you really want me to watch it?
No, I don't really mind one way or the other. I mean, I think you'd enjoy it. I think that's the thing. But if you could remove the realism from it, maybe.
I think the reason why I wouldn't enjoy it was because I'd feel bad for the boys.
For the boys.
Yeah.
Fair dinkum. That's an Australian term, isn't it? Fair dinkum.
Yes,
yeah. You know where I got that from?
No.
Prisoner Cell Block H.
Amazing.
I used to watch that as a kid.
Amazing.
I loved it. The dirty, rotten mongrels.
No.
Very good. Are we allowed to do accents? I'm sure we are anymore. Too scared.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.